Food and Drug Administration is nearly finished with its ambitious building plan for its White Oak campus in suburban Maryland. More than 10,000 people work there, but everyone crammed in cheek by jowl also causes some security problems. At least that's what the Government Accountability Office has found. Joining me with details, Elizabeth Curta, the GAO's Acting Director of Health Issues. Ms. Curta, great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I have been to that campus, and it does have the feeling of a rabbit warren in how many people are crammed into. There's a lot of buildings, but they're all close, and people are sharing offices. What was your purpose in looking at the campus, and what did you find?
Well, our purpose was to really assess where they are with the development of the campus. They have been developing it since 2003, when there was a need to bring a lot of the FDA offices together that were sort of scattered across many leased offices in the Rockville area. And so we were asked to look at the progress of the campus and any sort of challenges that remain. And we found that, as you mentioned, there are about over 10,000 staff there currently in the 9 of the 10 buildings that have been built that were planned. And but the building was really only planned for about 8,300 people. So there are more people there than were initially planned. And then FDA has plans to add an additional 5,900 people by 2020.
So they really need the additional buildings that are on the drawing boards but are not yet funded?
They need additional housing. There are options. There's construction, but also additional lease space. And I think that's what they need to assess going forward.
And on the security issue, first of all, what is the classification of the facility itself? It's not just a regular administrative office.
Yes, a security assessment was done by DHS in 2014, and it was classified a high-risk facility, a level 4 out of 5 levels.
And what does that mean in terms of what should be happening there that may not be?
Well, there are certain requirements for that level of risk, and the requirements call for specifically some controlled access to the entrances to the campus and separation, for example, of visitors from employees, so that the visitors are going to a dedicated parking space and that employees can sort of park wherever they need to park.
Because they don't have enough parking now as it is, correct?
That is correct. They, in terms of the priorities for construction, they have not built 2 of the garages that they had planned to build, and they have instead surface parking that cannot fit as many people. And so they are often, the garages they do have are often full, and they rely on attendants to sort of move the cars around and fit as many as they can into the lots during the day.
Plus the lots they do have, sometimes they're really far from where you need to be in bad weather, or if you're carrying something, you know, you might be really out there.
Correct. They have a satellite parking lot that I think is probably less desirable than the ones that are closer to the building.
I think the word for that type of lot is called East Jesus, usually. All right, so what are your recommendations here? I mean, what do they need to do?
Well, first, we recommend that they address the security issue in the short term. And we had recommended that they either implement what was called for in the 2014 security assessment or, and this is permissible, document a rationale for not doing that. However, FDA has decided that it will go ahead and implement the security features that it actually constructed. It just had not sort of activated them. And my understanding from them most recently is that they have begun to do the checking of staff and visitors at the gates and also separating the visitors from the employees.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Curta, the Acting Director for Health Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And what about internally in the offices? I think your report states that in some instances, people doing classified or highly sensitive work share offices with people that may not be having or should not have access to what their office mates are looking at.
Yeah, that was one of the challenges we identified with the consolidation and having more people there than were planned. They've had to, in some cases, double up people in offices, which is not always a bad thing, but in some cases, you know, it can present a challenge if, for example, you're dealing with personnel information or a regulatory issue that, you know, where the information is sensitive.
And what about the materials they might be handling there? Is there any danger from laboratories exposing too many people to something or other?
We did not look specifically at that issue. There is a biosecurity level 3 research lab there, which is, you know, I guess the highest level is 4. And so you want to be obviously very careful. We didn't look at the security of that lab, but yeah, there are things to be. You would definitely want to be concerned about that.
And these 5,900 people that FDA thinks it's going to grow by, what's the timetable for that right now?
Well, it's you know, on hold at the moment. They have authority to hire some additional staff, and they will have to put them somewhere. Obviously, the buildings they have are not sufficient for that, and so they may have to do some kind of, and this is not in any particular plans, but you know, they may have to lease space or hold off hiring those folks.
So is in some ways, I mean, this is largely a new campus. There's lots of new construction. It's in many of the laboratories are state of the art. Are there lessons learned for the federal government as a whole from what has been happening in White Oak these past number of years?
Well, I think the lesson for the federal government and certainly for FDA in terms of what we recommended was there are leading facilities planning practices that you can follow as you construct a campus. And what we found was they were partly following those practices. For example, they had existing plans or proposed future plans that addressed the needs assessment for the campus and evaluation of alternative proposals. But there are other leading practices that they were not following. And one is establishing a linkage between proposals and plans and their strategic objectives. So the plans that they have and that they're proposing to do not have a sort of very strong and specific linkage between what is being proposed for the campus and what they're trying to accomplish in terms of objectives.
I think that linkage would probably be important in convincing members of Congress to fund new construction.
Yes, that is correct. I think you can make a much stronger case when you have something that clearly lays out how a planned building will help you accomplish your goals. The other thing in terms of lessons learned or leading practices that FDA should be implementing is the collection of data that you need to make those cases. Currently, they don't have a good handle on some of their day-to-day operating data. When we asked, for example, how many people were at the campus, they couldn't give us a ready count. And so they implemented a one-day sort of count where they checked the number of staff and then also contractors who come, because the contractors aren't necessarily listed as full-time employees. And that is how we got the number. But they don't have a sort of a regular and routinized way of getting that information on a weekly or a seasonal basis to see how things change over time.
Elizabeth Curta is Acting Director for Health Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. If you would like to get the report, it's on our website at www.gao.gov.
Yes, we'll have a link to that report and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.